We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuck Reshow live on this Friday evening. Is game one of the NBA Finals in the books. Pretty easy victory for Denver last night. Didn't seem like they were really threatened all that much. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk some NBA Finals and NBA overall with our buddy Kurt Heelan. He is the lead NBA writer, managing editor at NBCSports.com. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Basketball Talk, and he's joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Kurt, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
You know, my producer and I were talking about this last night, about the fact that Joker is so in control of a game. Like, when he goes stretches where he's not scoring, it's not because he doesn't want to score. It's because he's getting everybody else involved and doing some other things. It has been amazing in some of these playoff games that early on he takes a role where he's setting other guys up, getting them into the flow of a game, and then all of a sudden he comes in and turns it on for his own offense.
Yeah, and I think that that's something the Heat wanted to avoid. They actually wanted to turn him into more of a scorer and didn't execute that very well. And I think you'll see it a little more in game two. They're not wrong either. I think if you can – look, it's not easy to beat Denver. They're going to put up points. That is a very good offense. But if you can – let's say Jokic has 35 points but 6 assists, you have a chance. Like, the Heat have a chance. They need that kind of night. If it's what we saw last night, if it's, you know, 25 and 12, forget about it. There's everybody's involved, everything's going on, and at that point, the Heat just aren't going to be able to score enough in this series to keep up with them. So I think that that's weirdly kind of the plan, but that is who Jokic is. That's who he's been for a while. He is really one of the best game managers there is right now, and his ability to just always know where the open guy is amazing.
You know, and I asked, I had Eric Reed on, the longtime TV play-by-play guy for the Miami Heat on, and we were talking about the idea of, you know, is it a situation where do you just let Joker get all of his points but not let everybody else score? Because, look, if he's getting 25-30 and Murray's getting 30, the Heat have no chance. I mean, if it starts getting to be a point where everybody's involved offensively, Heat are going to get run out of the building in this series.
It is exactly that. It's also, and I mean, this isn't how many stars who can pass well has this been the book on? It was the book on Magic Johnson. Certainly was the book on Steve Nash for a long time, like make him a scorer, not a passer. And LeBron at points, although that was a little bit different. It's definitely the case with him. If the whole team gets it together, and you're right, Murray's going to get his, and that's part of the other problem with this. It's easy to say turn Jokic into a scorer. They're going to run that Jokic-Murray pick and roll, and they have the kind of chemistry in a pick and roll partners that you don't see much anymore because they've been together so long, doing it so long, and it's a little Stockton Malone-like, right? Like, they've just been doing it together for so long that they have a real intuitive feel for both what's working and just reading the play and knowing what the other guy is going to do.
Kurt, if we say that Greg Popovich is the best coach in the NBA because of all of his long-term success and all the championships and things like that, where does Eric Spoelstra go? Where does he fit into the mix of everybody else in the coaching ranks of the NBA?
I think he's the best coach in the NBA right now. I think Popovich, I mean, it's not like Popovich forgot how to coach, but he's in a different place with that team right now, although it's going to be, I think he's excited. Funny thing is, he's really enjoyed the last few years. He is an old school coach who likes to coach. He likes to work on player development. And when you have a higher level NBA team, or even what Quinn Snyder is dealing, you know, has right now in Atlanta, yeah, you're coaching and you're developing guys and you're setting up schemes, but so much of it is also ego management and keeping people happy and dealing with the personality issues around any team. Popovich was relatively lucky with that because Tim Duncan, but he still, at the end of the day, this is what he likes to do, and now he gets Wembanyama. That said, I think Spoelstra is a better coach, just in a better place right now. I think Spoelstra is at the absolute top of his game, the best strategic coach in the NBA, and also maybe the best at just getting everybody to pull the rope in the same direction.
Kurt Heelan joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. All right, I'm fantasy booking now. I mean, I'm an Atlanta Hawks fan. I want desperately to find a way to try to get Jaylen Brown here in Atlanta. And yes, yeah, I know all the financial ramifications, and I get all of it, and the trade package, and whether or not the Celtics want to move on. I'll ask you in two parts. A, do you think that the Celtics are not going to offer him a supermax type of deal? And B, do you think even realistically that the Celtics, if unless they get backed in a corner, they really want to trade Jaylen Brown?
No, I don't think they want to. I do think they're going to offer the supermax, that they're just going to put that on the table. And this is one of those situations where I'm not, you know, look, just talking to people around the league and connected and people around Boston, not everybody's sure he really wants to be in Boston long term. But if they offer him the supermax, and like I said, I fully expect them to, he's got to take that, man. That is generational wealth, right? Like, you can't say no to that. My guess is, especially with the looming new CBA that comes down really hard on super high spending teams, that it is something more akin to he takes it, and you and I will be having a discussion in a year or 2 years about Jaylen Brown wanting out of Boston now. But I think that's a patient organization, and I think they're going to try to run it back in the short term. The way you get him ultimately and get him to come home to Atlanta is that he forces it, that it's what he wants. If he doesn't sign that supermax this summer, if they offer it and he doesn't sign it, or if they kind of lowball him, then trade talks start. His comments publicly to me, I want to be where I'm wanted comments, I think that a lot of people read it as him wanting out. I read it as pay me. I expect that. But if he's unhappy, you know, then he forces his way out, and he's got a lot of control, because at the end of the day, so wherever he goes, he's going to have to sign. So he has some leverage over where he goes.
Well, and Kurt, I mean, you know, look, it's the NBA. I mean, somebody's going to offer him a supermax deal, right? If it's not Boston, is somebody not going to offer him a supermax deal? I mean, is somebody not going to offer to pay him, you know, what he feels he's worth?
They can, but Boston can offer more under the rules are set up to try to make you help you retain your stars, right? So Boston can just offer more. It's 5 years. It's somewhere between $290 and $300 million, depending on exactly where the cap falls.
Right.
And nobody else can offer more than 4 years. And I'm going to forget what that exact number is off the top of my head. 235 or 240, whatever that number is.
Yeah, I think it's two. I think it's 290 versus 240. That's the. I mean, it's like a $50 million difference. But again, if he doesn't get it from Boston, he's going to get it somewhere.
The teams would line up to hand him that. You're talking about a 25-year-old All NBA player at a position of need. Every team in the league could use that guy. And if he became available, pretty much every team would be lining up to try to find a way to make it happen, right? Atlanta would be in that mix, and that's why I'm saying he would have a choice. All the teams that are star hunting right now, including the Knicks and then everybody else, would come, and he would have some options about where he wants to be. I think that's the telling part. There are agents who I've talked to, who have said that once you get into that range, and you're talking north of 240, 250 million, I don't want to say what's the difference, but sort of what's the difference? At that point, you're talking about so much money and so much generational wealth that is $50 million, this is a weird way to phrase this, but is that $50 million, is that worth not being happy? At that point, you're making so much money, would you rather go where you want to go? And for some players, that peace of mind of being in an organization they want to be with or in a city they want to be at or whatever is driving this matters more than anything else.
So, Kurt, if let's just for argument's sake say a Jaylen Brown is off the table for the Atlanta Hawks, is there anybody else out there that you feel like that could be a good trade candidate? I mean, I've seen some strange names. Like, I've seen Kristaps Porzingis, and I'll be honest with you, no. I don't want anything to do with him. I mean, seven foot three guy who stands 30 feet out from the basket. I don't need that for the Hawks. But is there anybody that you are intrigued by as maybe a trade partner to bring into Atlanta?
Yeah, by the way, the Wizards are one to watch. The front office changes they made suggest that there could be major changes there, although that would have to really start with Bradley Beal. And by the way, if Bradley Beal becomes available, I'm not sure that's your guy, right? Like an older guy who's very expensive, who's and another guard. Like that's not really the need.
Right.
But there's other teams. What happens if things devolve in Philadelphia? I think you're going to see a lot. There's a theory going around. The league, it's funny, I was just talking with a couple of guys last night about this here in Denver. There's a theory going around that because we're a year away from the new collective bargaining agreement's worst provisions or best, you know, most onerous, you know, parts kicking in, you're going to see heavy movement this year from teams that want to make additions or get out of this. And so you're going to see you're going to see more trades this summer than we've seen in a while and more than we've probably seen in a year, just because teams are kind of like, hey, we can kind of make this move now. In a year, it's not something we want to do being over that second tax apron, that kind of lead apron they've got out there. So it's going to be interesting. And I think that's the beauty of the NBA too, John, is we can talk about, yeah, man, maybe it's Carl Anthony Towns, and they're changing things around in Minnesota because they want to build around Anthony Edwards, which, by the way, wouldn't be the stupidest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something else. But you never know. There's always going to be some name where we're like, really? That guy? It just always seems to happen.
Last question for you, Kurt. Is there a team that you think could be seller? You brought the point about getting out of, you know, getting out from underneath everything. Do you think that there's a team in mind? Are you eyeballing a particular team that you think that, okay, this thing isn't working for whatever reason and maybe it's time to try to start over?
Minnesota's one that I think is, like, I wasn't kidding. Carl Anthony Towns has won a lot of teams and have their eye on. They're kind of stuck with Rudy Gobert. That is an untradeable, I don't want to say untradeable, but.
Yeah, pretty close.
pretty close. What you'd have to attach to get rid of it. But that team, since just you and me talking, they should be building around Anthony Edwards.
Sure.
Anthony Edwards is the future there, right? Like, I'm not sure that Carl Anthony Towns fits with Edwards perfectly. They're not quite on the same timeline. That's one a lot of teams are watching. Like I said, there's a lot of eyes on Philadelphia. I mentioned them. Depending on what James Harden does and kind of how the summer goes, I don't think they're there yet, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. How unhappy Joel Embiid is suddenly changes everything, because then is Tyrese Maxey in play or some other guys that you might be interested in? Again, Maxey's a guard, so it's not necessarily where Atlanta would want to go, but there are big men and forwards who could become available. And like I said, there's always one. There's always one that catches even us off guard where we're like, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, always a very interesting offseason. I'll hand that to the NBA. It's always a very intriguing offseason. Check him out on his personal Twitter page, at Basketball Talk. He's the lead NBA writer and managing editor for NBCSports.com. And Kurt Helin joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Kurt, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. And listen, we'll chat again here soon.
I look forward to it. I'm looking forward to going to Miami. I'm going to try to find some places to go out at night and see. I don't know if there are any. You know, I get in at 10. The city's pretty much closed by then, right?
Yeah, and, you know, there's no beaches. There's no pretty girls. I mean, so, listen, I mean, you'll have nothing to do in Miami.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to be in my room working.
I was going to say read a book. I mean, you know, that's that's about what it is. So, Kurt, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man.
Take care, man.
You got it. John Chuckery, we'll be back. Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.